question that I sent you on the email about what we talked about.
I'll try to get back to that. Right now, I want to focus on what we're doing now.
And, okay.
I'm gonna Skype from my house, so hopefully there won't be too many interruptions, and we'll be able to focus on the concept of Kavana B'mitzvahs. So let's begin with the sugya in Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
And the Gemara establishes in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph. They told us about Sholchu Liavua de Shmuel Kofo V'Yochel Matzah Yotza. That means that he was forced to eat matzah. He ate it under duress, and he fulfilled his mitzvah. And the Gemara says, Amar Rava Zosomeres. From this we can derive that Hatokea Lashir Yotza, that even though he didn't have kavana for the mitzvah of Tkia Shofar, he was interested in Shir. Nevertheless, he fulfilled the mitzvah. Rashi says, Kafu Parsiim Afagav Shalonis Kaven Lotzeis Yidechova Chovas Mitzvah. Nevertheless, Yotza. So Rashi is establishing here that based on the statement that was sent to Avuah de Shmuel, we know that mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, and therefore Rava makes the, you know, draws the conclusion or makes the analogy that therefore if a person blows shofar for the sake of shir, even though he doesn't have kavana l'shem mitzvah, he's yotze. The Gemara asks Pshita, Hainu Hach, why does Rava feel compelled to tell me and single out the case of Tokel Shir and right. Tkiya Shofar? Why not just make a universal statement of mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana? And the Gemara right. says that there's a separate chiddush in the case of Tkiya Shofar. Mao the same I would have said that as opposed to matzah, where the Torah just simply says echol matzah and he ate the matzah, here the Torah seems to add another dimension to the mitzvah of shofar, and that is zichron trua. And zichron trua means some sort of mental or emotional awareness of the mitzvah of shofar. And this individual is blowing simply for the sounds, he's not at all interested in zichron trua, is misasek bi'almahu. He completely forfeits the mitzvah. And even if I hold mitzvos ein tzrichos kavana, but nevertheless, the Torah in with regard to shofar requires zichron trua. It's not just the maisa, the physical mechanical act, but also right. zichron trua. Kamash malon, but nevertheless, as Rashi says, afal gavdim is asiku, which I understand to mean the following. That despite the fact that he forfeits the kium of zichron trua, he does not have an awareness of zichron trua. As far as that kium is concerned, he is a misasek. But nevertheless, there's another mitzvah of yom trua, the mitzvah of the mechanical act of blowing the shofar, hearing the shofar, whatever it might be. Yotza, he fulfills at least that mitzvah. He obtains one kium amongst two kiumim, the mitzvahs einam tzrichas kavana. And that the Gemara summarizes this whole sugya by saying Alma Kasava Rava Mitzvahs Ein Tzrichas Kavana.
Okay.
Then the Gemara asks the following. We have a statement which later on we'll see in the name of Rabbi Yossi, and that is that with regard to shofar, when a person tells someone to blow shofar on his behalf, there's got to be Kavana. And the Gemara establishes, if you just fast forward a little bit, that the Kavana has to be both on the part of the Shomea and on the part of the Mashmia, that both the shofar blower and the one who's listening to the shofar have to have Kavana, Achis Kaven, Shomea U Mashmia. And that seems to be the opposite. And the Gemara actually records a case where Rabbi Yossi told the shofar blower to blow on his behalf and have Kavana. Alma, the Gemara says, you see that you need both the Kavana of the Shomea and the Mashmia. And what I'd like to show you is that this part of the Sugya, namely Rabbi Yossi's part of the Sugya, is reflected in the poskim. So let's just fast forward for a moment.
Wait a second. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
Are we talking about the mitzvah of Zikron Trua now, or just the mitzvah?
No, just simply the mitzvah of Yom Trua and the principle of mitzvah Strichas Kavana. And we're going to see on the next page the tour as he codifies this halacha in Orach Chaim. And we're going to see this not only once, but twice. The tour actually takes the second part of the sugya and accepts it la'alacha. And he writes that we need kavana in order to be yotzei the mitzvah. And without kavana, we're not yotzei the mitzvah. And we'll see the sugya in Pesachim momentarily, but just to take a look at the tour says in Siman Tov Kuf Pei Tes, he writes, "V'tzarech sheyichaven hatokea lahotzi hashomea v'im lo im tokav lo kiven lahotzi lo yotza." And he tells us that Rabbi Zera, he commanded his helper, his shamei, to be mechaven and to be tokea. Pirish says the tour, his kavin lahotzieni, alma boy das shomea shiichavin lotzeis v'das mashmia shiichavin alzeh lahotzio. And the tour summarizes this entire halacha, requiring both the kavana of the mashmia and the kavana of the shomea, by writing the less hilchus akurava, meaning we do not accept the principle of rava, who establishes that tokea l'shir yotza. The Kaimalan says the tour, the mitzvos tzrichos kavana b'chein kosav b'chein kosav b'hag. That's on the bottom of your page two. So
yeah,
both.
Wait one second. Well, now we just want to be perfectly clear here. Now, when what they're talking about mitzvos tzrichos kavana by the tokea and the mashmi and the shomea, they are talking about the kavana of the Tzias Mitzvah, not just talking about the Kavana to be motzi with a call.
Correct. That's what we have to emphasize here. Again, if you have it, I underlined it on the third line. It says the Kaimalon Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavana. And this is a rejection of the previous sugya about Kafu Lechol Matzah and Tokal Shir, which both Rava and Avud Shmuel seem to assume that mitzvahs ain tzrichas kavana. Says the tour, I would have been very satisfied to paskin like that sugya, like what we call the reish of the sugya,
right,
and accept Rava l'alocha. But the only problem is, since we accept the sefer of the sugya, that's his preference, and he quotes the Bahag to support him. Therefore, kaimalon mitzvos tzrichos kavana. Later on, he's going to quote another sheet amongst the Gaonim, whether it's the Ritz Geas, whether it's the Rav Shrira Gaon, whoever it is, they want to accept the Reish of the Sugya.
That
Mitzvah Zain Tzrichos Kavana, the tour is committed to a different position, and that's the position of his father, the Rush, that Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavana. So just to summarize what we got until this point, we have here a Machlokes in the Sugyas. That's the way the Torah understood it, between what I call the Reish of the Sugya and the Seif of the Sugya. And now we have Machlokes La'alacha. The Gaonim, the Ritz Geis and the Rav Shrira Gaon, they seem to accept the Reish of the Sugya, that Mitzvahs Ein Tzrichos Kavana, the Torah. And before him, the Rush accept the Seif of the Sugya, and they paskin that Mitzvahs Tzrichos Kavana.
Right.
And it's very interesting to me that we'll see that although the Gaonim before the Rush were more lenient about this, and it's not just the Gaonim, we'll see this in the Rashba, and possibly even in the Rambam, again the Rambam sheet is going to be a little bit more complex, that mitzvos ain tzrichos kavana, nevertheless what we're going to try to establish is that the Shulchan Aruch himself, although in Beis Yosef on the bottom of your page 2, has brought down both Shitos, and when you read the Beis Yosef, you're really not sure exactly what his final conclusion is, But based on the klolim, the principles that govern reading the Shulchan Aruch, which I'll explain in just a minute, it's quite clear, if you have any doubts about it, that the Shulchan Aruch accepts the Shita L'Chumra, that mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana.
Yeah, you have it underlined in the last.
Yeah, and we're going to see that. The Shulchan Aruch, in doing so, is going to really derive nafkaminis in the case of Suffolk. So let's just for a moment, we'll come back to the Beis Yosef on page 2 in just a second, but let's fast forward to page 3, and let's take a look at the psak of the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Kriyat Shema, and that's Siman Samach. And he writes the following, Yesh Omrim She'ein Mitzvos Tzrichos Kavana, V'yesh Omrim She'tzrichos Kavana Lotzeis B'asiyas HaMitzvah. Now, when the Mechaber starts with a shita that he quotes first, stoma means without mentioning that it is a particular opinion, and then at the end he quotes the Yesh Omrim, generally speaking, we assume that the Mechaber paskins like the stoma, like the first shita. However, the rule changes when the Mechaber begins with the Yesh Omrim and then quotes a second Yesh Omrim. There, in those cases, we usually assume that the Mechaber accepts the second opinion. Here, it's even more explicit because the Mechaber ends his presentation by saying V'chein Halacha. And the words V'chein Halacha really support the last opinion, the second opinion, that mitzvah strikos kavana. And we're going to see a whole discussion about this in the Mishnah Brura and in the Bir Halacha. But before we do that, let's just go back to the Beis Yosef himself in Siman Tav Kuf Pei Tes. And there, the Beis Yosef writes, Ule Inyan Halacha Kevon de Harifa Raman Varash Maskimim the mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, hachi naktinan. That's how we paskin. So what we've seen already in the Beis Yosef, he's sort of like preparing the ground for what we can anticipate in a very consistent way, what he codifies in the Shulchan Aruch, v'chein halacha, in Hilchas Kriyat Shema. Please note, however, and this is a pellet to me, that he writes that the Rambam is on his list, I call it the hit list, that requires kavana. In fact, that's not crystal clear. The Rambam in Hilchas Chametz u'Matzah codifies the halacha of Avud Shmuel, that kafu lechol matzah, yatza. And in fact, the Rambam in Hilchas Kriyat Shema that we've discussed at great length, likewise seems to assume that with the exception of the first pasuk, because he passes like Rebbe that requires kavana, the rest, the balance of Kriyat Shema, the three parshas, which are all d'oraisa, do not require kavana. Again, we'll come back to that point in just a minute, but it's a little bit simplistic, if you ask me, just a comment on the side, to assume that just because the Rambam in Hilchas Shofar accepts the Shita of Rabbi Zeira, which is based before him on the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, that you have to have Kavanas Tokea and Kavanas Shomea, that therefore the Rambam paskins mitzvos tzrichos kavana. That may or may not be the case. The Rambam
we learned in previous Urim that there's an Inyan of Hanah involved
So if the Beis Yosef wants to assume like the Ran and that matzah is the exception to the rule for a very definite reason, like you say, Hanah, then let the Beis Yosef tell me that. But that's already chidushim in the Rambam. You know, the simple reading of the Rambam is that the Torah says to do a mechanical act. You did the mechanical act, whether it has Hanah or doesn't have Hanah, you yotze. Maybe shofar should be seen as the exception to the rule, because not that I'm blowing a shofar, but that I'm hearing you blow the shofar. And maybe that's a requirement of kavana. But I'm just pointing out that the Beis Yosef, in a certain sense, again, I hate to use this phrase because it comes from a secular culture, but he sort of stacks the cards here. And he comes to the conclusion that mitzvos, tzrichos, kavana, And if you have any doubt about it, he's outspoken about it in Hilchas Kriyat Shema. And here,
by Shofar, he said, straight out says that the Mashmiya and the Shemaya have to have Kavana.
Correct, but you don't know.
By Achilas Masa, he doesn't say anything about Kavana. He says, you're Yotza. Why you're Yotza? We're assuming is because Mrs. Hainatri has Kavana. But
right.
The Rambam is not exactly explicit.
Right, but
is.
I'm just saying, you know, clearly if the Rambam is talking about Kafu Lechel Matzah, and the Gemara derives from that the conclusion that Mitzvah Ein Tzrichas Kavana,
right.
I would certainly assume that that's the underlying reason for the Rambam's Kula in Matzah. The answer to Shofar is because the Rambam in Shofar is talking about a very, very specific case, namely where I'm trying to be Yotze, your shofar, you're blowing the shofar, and we have to link somehow together, and maybe the mutual reciprocal kavana in both ways is what links us together. If I had no other evidence, it would certainly be a toss-up, and I wouldn't know which way to go in the Rambam. But when you add the Rambam in Hilchas Kriyat Shema to this whole cholent, you really get the impression that the Rambam holds mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana. In fact, Reb Chaim was of the opinion that perhaps in Sukkah, on the first night of Sukkot, the Rambam would not require Kavana, if not for the fact that the Torah says, L'man yedu doro seichem. And we're going to see this later on in the Bach, that there may be a special requirement of Kavana with regard to Sukkah, because of that Pasuk, but other than that, there would be no need for Kavana. And if you will argue, well, maybe that's because of the Ran in Pesachim regarding matzah, namely that he has hanoa when he eats in the sukkah. Reb Chaim denied that, because Reb Chaim said the mitzvah is not achila b'sukkah, but rather yeshiva b'sukkah.
Correct.
But let's not just, you know, just to, I want to now focus on both the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha on your page 3, because I think this really has tremendous, tremendous implications. Here's the issue that I want to call your attention to. The Mechaber quotes two opinions, the first and the second. The first, Lekula Ein Tzrichas Kavana, and the second, Lechumra. And then he paskins La'alach like the second opinion.
Right.
Let's address the following question. A person implemented a mitzvah without Kavana.
Right.
Now, does he have to repeat the mitzvah, or does he not have to repeat the mitzvah? In such a case, I would certainly assume, without blinking, that he would have to repeat the mitzvah, simply because the Mechaber accepts the second opinion, that mitzvah strichas kavana, and without kavana he was not yotze. That per se is crystal clear. But take a look at the following scenario. What happens if a person is in doubt whether or not he had kavana? I simply don't remember. I ate a kizayis matzah, and I forgot, did I have Kavana, did I not have Kavana? Or any of the other cases, Shofar, etc., etc.
Right.
In such a case, I would say that since the Mechaber quotes two opinions, the first one, Yesh Omrim Shein, Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana, the second one, that Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana, what I have in front of me is two Sfeikas. Now, what principle in Halacha reigns supreme when you have two Sfeikas?
Right.
That's called Svek Svek, am I right?
Yeah, right, correct.
So Lechora, here's a classical case of a Svek Svek. First of all, I don't know if I had Kavana. And second of all, Afilu in Tim Tzolom, even if you'll argue I did not have Kavana.
Yeah, Kavana.
Maybe we pass in like the first man, the Omer and the Mechaber, Yesh Omer, Shein Mitzvah Srichas Kavana. And the principle of Svek Sveka is relevant even to a Mitzvah Doraisa. Meaning, if I have one suffix on a mitzvah doraisa, true, I've got to repeat that mitzvah to guarantee suffix doraisa l'chumra. But if, on the other hand, I have a second suffix, because even if I grant you that mitzvah is tzrichas kavana, or even if I grant you that I left out kavana, I still have another suffix. And when I'm at tzarif the two sveikas, I should apply the principle of svek sveika. Now, you can ask even a third question. Afilu im timtzalomer, even if I hold mitzvah strichas kavana, does the Torah require kavana, or is it the Rabbanan who require kavana?
Correct.
So here the Rashbam is outspoken. Take a look at the Rashbam in Pesachim on the second page. of Yamara Makomus. The case here in the Sugyim Psachim is where he has no Yerek, he has no vegetable for the mitzvah of Tibul Rishon, which means Kadesh Yishalu Hatinokos. What do we call it? What do we call it in the Simona? We call it Karpas, right? He has no vegetable for Karpas other than Morar. Okay, it's a little hard to imagine, but that's the case. And the Gemara says that despite the fact that he used the Morar for Tibul Rishon for the mitzvah of Karpas, nevertheless, he still has to take another Kizayis when he gets to Morar. And he cannot fall back on the first Kizayis Morar that he ate, because that Kizayis Morar he ate not for the sake of the mitzvah of Morar,
right,
but for another purpose. And Reish Lakish derives from this conclusion, the conclusion that mitzvos tzrichos kavana, meaning that since he didn't have kavana on the first round when he ate karpas, therefore he must repeat that mitzvah and eat a second Kizayis of Morar L'shem Morar, and that's called mitzvos tzrichos kavana. And if you take a look,
that is negative kavana.
Well, okay, we'll get to that. But just on the first level of mitzvos tzrichos kavana, we have here a comment of the Gemara. Let's look at the Gemara. Heviu lefanav. That's the Mishnah, actually. Metabel bechazeres. And then the Mishnah goes on to say that then they bring him out the morar, and he has to be yotze with the morar. So if you take a look at the Rashbam, which of course is here under Tanoihi mitzvahs lahavi, if you take a look at the left bottom of the Rashbam, he says, "Klomar mitzvah lahavi minatora." He's talking about morar bisman abayis, which is a mitzvah doraisa, and he left out kavana when he ate the first kizayis and morar. And the Rashbam adds min hatora. And why is he required to eat a second kizayis morar min hatora? Da'akati lo kiyei mitzvahs achilas morar, ho'evalonis kavein, on the first kizayis he didn't have kavana, the mitzvos trichos kavana.
But in any case, he wouldn't have been yod to the oraisa, because the oraisa has to be al matzah sumorim yoklu. So he would have had to eaten it together.
Okay, that's a complicated question, which I'm not going to get into now, whether or not there's a separate mitzvah of eating kizayis morar, and what exactly al matzah morim yochlu, you know, whether we pass like Hillel or like the Chachamim. So leaving that out, but one thing is crystal clear in the Rashbam, based on the principle of mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, adds two very important words here to emphasize the requirement of eating the second kizayis. And those two words are min ha-Torah, meaning that the Rashbam, without going into all the issues of whether he has to eat it with the matzah, without the matzah, but the Rashbam is clearly saying that the second kizayis morar is a doraisa. And why is that? Because mitzvah srichos kavana. So getting back to our discussion about Svek Sveka, in the light of this Rashbam, I don't have the option of applying the principle of Safik Dirabbanan Lekula, in a case where I don't know if I had Kavana or I didn't have Kavana. It's a Safik Doraisa, and Safik Doraisa Lechum Rabat, I have another Safik, do we require Kavana? How do we paskin? The Mechaber, after all, brings down the Yesh Omer She'en Mitzvah Strichas Kavana. And in fact, in the Beis Yosef, we saw that he quotes a whole slew of Gaonim and others, Rabbeinu Chananel and so forth, who hold mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana. And that seems to be the assumption of the sugya of kafu lechol matzah, the reish of that sugya in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. So can I apply the principle of Svek Sveka? Says the Mishnah Brura, nein. There's no Svek Sveka here. Why? Because the Mechaber added two words. And that is v'chein halacha. If he would have left out the two words v'chein halacha, then we would still require, in a case of one suffek, that you repeat the mitzvah, because the mechaber always passes like the second yesh omrim. That's the rule. And since there's a second opinion here, which we have to be worried about, therefore suffek d'oraisa l'chumra. But what about the fact that I don't even know if I left out kavana? That would convert it into a svek sveka. Oh, says the Rashbam, says the Bir Halacha, there's only one suffig. The suffig is whether you had kavana or not. But if you did not have kavana, we cannot introduce a second suffig, namely, that perhaps mitzvos ain't tzrichas kavana. That possibility, that mitzvos ain't tzrichas kavana, is off the record. It doesn't even apply at all, because the Mechaber added the two words v'chein halacha. So let's look at the Mishnah Brura inside.
Okay, but the Maisa is, we're still only talking about whether he has to repeat the Maisa mitzvah, but it would seem to under any circumstances he wouldn't make a profit then.
Right, he writes.
He'd still be a suffix.
Right, he writes. V'tzarech lachzar v'lasosa afilu im suffik lo im kivain o lo kivain. I mean, I added those two words.
Right.
Because imu mitzvah doraisa is sveika l'chumra. And why is it sveika l'chumra? What about the principle of svek sveika l'kula? Says the Rashbam. Says the Mishnah Brura. Because in this case, v'chein halacha, there is no doubt about it, and we paskin mitzvah srichas kavana b'tars vadai, and that suffix is completely removed. Then he writes the following: but nirali delo yivarech az al hamitzvah. As you mentioned before, we still are left with one suffix, and therefore the Mishnah Brura wants to apply the principle of suffix brachos lahakel, and therefore, though he has to repeat the mitzvah, he leaves out the bracha. We had a long discussion once, if you recall, about Kriyat Shema. The Rambam says that if he has doubts about Kriyat Shema, whether he recited Kriyat Shema, he didn't, he's going to recite Kriyat Shema bibirchoseha. And in this case, the Rambam requires a bracha. Says the Rashba, which is quoted by the Kesef Mishnah Hilchas Kriyat Shema, that this is the exception to the rule, because the takana was that when he recites Kriyat Shema, it's got to be Kriyat Shema biberchoseha, and that means that even if on a normal suffik we would say suffik brachas lahakel, the exception to the rule is where the very takana of the mitzvah was established with brachos, and the mitzvah itself has to be embellished by a bracha. But barring that exception, the general universal rule is that suffek brachos lahak.
But even in the case of Kriyat Shema v'chaser, if that's the case, which it is, it's the way we paskin, but what happens with Rashi, who holds that Mika Kriyat Shema Zalamita?
And therefore what? You know, I'm not sure I follow.
You don't say brachas. Rashi never said to say brachas alamita.
I think Rashi's answering the question, how is Hayotze Kriyat Shema Doraisa when I recited Kriyat Shema before Tzeis HaKochavim, right? Because we paskin based on the mission at the beginning of brachos, that Memesai Korin Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis Bishosha Kohanim, etc. You need Seis. Here we daven Myriv and Shul before Seis. So Rashi's answer is that on a Dorabanan level, I was Yotze the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema even before Seis, and that Kriyat Shema was embellished by Birchas Kriyat Shema. However, I still have to fulfill the mitzvah Doraisa of Kriyat Shema, and the Rashi says I can fulfill that by reciting the first of the three parashiyas, Alamita.
Right, and but that makes them, in fact, that brachas is not an integral part, not ma'akeh then.
Not on a deraisal level.
He would say, make you say brachas.
Mm. Right, for sure, not on a deraisal level, right.
Right, okay.
Now there's another Mishnah Brura here. And this is the Mishnah Brura, which you'll see at the end of the first column. He speaks about two kinds of kavana. This is very fascinating. He writes, V'im kavanoso ba'asiyas ha-mitzvah l'shum eze inyan v'gam lotzeis bo yidei mitzvah yotza. And then he writes, V'chein halacha kosam ha-magin avron b'shem erad ba'az d'zeh dafka mitzvah d'oraisa mitzvah d'rabonon ein tzorch kavana u'lefize kol ha-brachos shehem gam kein d'rabonon l'vai b'birchus ha-mazon im lo kivin ba yotza b'di'evet. Okay. But then he goes on to quote the Bir Agra, who says, "Ein lechalik be mitzvah doraisa le mitzvah derabbanan." So we have two nafkaminas here between the Magen Avraham and the Gaon. Number one, we have one issue about a person who implemented a mitzvah derabbanan without kavana. Let's say he lit Ner Chanukah without kavana. Was he yotzei? Does he have to repeat the mitzvah or not? The Magen Avraham wants to suggest, and I'm not sure why. You know, here I think the logic is with the Gaon, but we'll try to explain the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham makes a fundamental distinction between a mitzvah d'orais and a mitzvah d'rabbanon. And he alleviates, in a case of a mitzvah d'rabbanon, the requirement of kavana. And the Gaon doesn't tolerate that. And the second afkamina is, with regard to all the brachas that we have to recite, with the exception of Birchas HaMazon, which are all d'rabbanon.
Right.
And the Mishnah Berurah writes that according to the Magen Avraham, if I did not have kavana for the mitzvah of bracha, whatever those brachas are, he doesn't go into detail, but they include every bracha with the exception of Birchas HaMazon, then he says you would have to repeat the bracha if you hold like the Gaon. But if you hold like the Magen Avraham, who cares if you didn't have kavana, because the chiyuv bracha itself is only the Rabbanan. However, In coming to the final conclusion, of course, you can anticipate what the Mishnah Berurah is going to rack it up over here. He's going to say the following. With regard to any mitzvah, then we would be machmir like the Gaon, and if you left out kavana, you'd have to repeat the mitzvah, even though it's only the Rabbanan. But with regard to a bracha, we're going to have to leave out the bracha because of the principle of Safek Brachos Lahakil. He right. does seem to imply that according to the Gaon, if you left out kavana, you, in the case of a bracha, you would have to repeat the bracha because mitzvah srichas kavana even in the mitzvah d'rabbanan. That's the implication of the Mishnah Berurah. Truth be told, the Bir Agra never addressed that issue. The Bir Agra himself was talking about a mitzvah d'rabbanan.
Right.
He was arguing with the Magen Avraham. And he was of the opinion that to the same extent the Torah requires kavana, when the Rabbanan established their mitzvah, they require kavana, let's be consistent. But he doesn't address the question of a bracha.
Yeah, but how does the Magen Avraham all together, where is his source for that the mitzvahs of the Rabbanan do not require kavana, when all the whole source for mitzvahs of kavana and lapsivas kavana in the Gemara are all on mitzvahs d'oraisa? They're either talking about Chia Shofar, or they're talking about Chivas Masa. And then, since that's the source, the whole source for whether it's Chivas Kavana or not, how does the Magen Avraham find the reason to make an exception for the Rabbanan?
I think what the Magen Avraham is saying is the following. That with regard to a mitzvah d'oraisa, every single mitzvah takes on its own character. We would call it its own shame. It has a specific classification. However, with regard to mitzvahs d'rabbanan, the Magen Avraham is of the opinion that a mitzvah d'rabbanan doesn't have its own shame, but rather it belongs to some sort of generic category which is called a mitzvah lishma l'divrei chachamim. Whatever the Chachamim tell me to do, that's what I have to do. The Torah says, V'yasisa k'chol sheyarucha, and every drabbanon really is a faceless, anonymous mitzvah that doesn't take on its own personality. And all I have to know is that I am doing this as a mitzvah drabbanon, and I don't have to have kavana for that specific mitzvah. The Magen Avraham never went as far as to say that if I do a mitzvah drabbanon kimisaseik, you know, simply because I have some vested interest in doing it, that therefore I'm yotze the mitzvah. That, I think that's an untenable position, and the Gaon is 100% right. Why would I make a distinction between a doraisa and a drabbanon? If kavana is a requirement, kavana is a requirement. But I would say that the Magen Avraham understood that in the case of a mitzvah drabbanon, the ma'aseh mitzvah doesn't have to have a unique status as a ma'aseh mitzvah. And therefore the kavana that's required in normal mitzvahs, meaning doraisa, to make this ma'aseh mitzvah into a ma'aseh mitzvah, that doesn't apply to a mitzvah drabbanon. Not that the Magen Avraham holds that you can just simply be misasek and happen to roll out of bed and light a Hanukkah candle, you know, and you yotze. You know, you need light in your house, so somebody put a candle in the Pesach Beis, and therefore he lit it, and therefore the Magen Avraham says he's yotze. No. What the Magen Avraham means to say is that I don't have to have specific kavana for this mitzvah. Mashal ma dover domeh, I'll give you a mashal. For example, in the case of the Nesivis, the famous Chiddush of the Nesivis, who says that Shogeg in a mitzvah d'oraisa requires kapora, you got to do tshuva if there was an element of negligence, but Shogeg in a mitzvah d'rabbanon doesn't require tshuva. Why should a mitzvah d'rabbanon not require tshuva? Says the Nesivis, because the mitzvah d'rabbanon is not a mitzvah per se, but rather, he's got to accept the authority of the Chachamim. If he was a shogeg, he in no way undermines or rejects or rebels against the authority of the Chachamim. There's not even a tzorech kapara here in the case of a drabbana. And I heard also once from my Rosh Hashiva back in when I was 19 years old, he's no longer alive, his name is Rabbi Schwarzman, that he said that every mitzvah drabbanon is a chovas gavra, and there's no chovas chefta. Meaning, every mitzvah drabbanon is nothing more than this generic obligation to uphold and implement the authority of the chachamim. The individual mitzvah doesn't take on a unique status as a ma'aseh mitzvah, its own chal shem mitzvah. That's why it could be that the halach of chatzi shir asa ben haTorah doesn't apply to a mitzvah d'rabbanan or even to an isa d'rabbanan, because chatzi shir is only because of the chefta, and there is no chefta in the d'rabbanan. And Rav Beryl Schwarzman went even a major step forward, even to take it one step beyond that. He wanted to suggest that it could very well be that although in Nedarim there's halach of hatfasa, that hatfasa would not work by an isa drabana. When it comes to the doraisa, there's halach of hatfasa, and I can say I raise zekozeh, but maybe in a drabana, insofar as it's only an isa gavra, not an isa chefta, because the whole nature of the isa is just to listen to the chachamim. Therefore, it doesn't take on a specific chefta the isura such that I could be matfis.
So that's very interesting, except one question I want to ask you, and that is that according to the Magen Avraham, then, who says that you don't need kavana for mitzvah d'rabbanan, and since you're saying, well, that is all subsumed under the general category of listening to the rabbanan, but if we have to have kavana to be yotze with mitzvah d'rabbanan, period, in its broad category, or is it the Magen Avraham saying, even if he has no intention of being yotze with any of the mitzvahs d'rabbanan, that therefore he is still yotze because...
In that last case, I think even the Magen Avraham would have to throw in the towel. You know, if he has no kavana whatsoever, then what is the kiyum over here? You know, he's not listening to the chachamim. Like I said before, somebody happened to put his candle on the windowsill, and it's Hanukkah, you know, and he needs to illuminate his house. I mean, give it a break. Where is he listening to the Chachamim? He's totally unaware of the fact that the Chachamim are requiring him to light that candle. Okay, but let me get back to the Mishnah Berurah, because there's another very important point here in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah assumes that according to the Gaon, who identifies Doraisas and Drabbanans, and is unwilling to accept any distinction thereof, kavana is a requirement both in a mitzvah d'oraisa and equally so in a mitzvah d'rabbanan, says the Mishnah Berurah, we have to ask ourselves the question about brachos. brachos, with the exception of one, actually there are two, but okay, one, are derabbanan. And therefore kavana should be an absolute requirement as far as brachos are concerned. And here, at this particular juncture, I want to mention the following. Let's assume, for argument's sake, that the Beis Yosef is correct, based on the Rambam in Shofar, and the Rambam holds mitzvah strichas kavana. So what are we going to do with the Rambam in Hilchas Kriyat Shema? The Rambam in Hilchas Kriyat Shema speaks about a case of korei lahagia. He doesn't have any interest whatsoever in fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Says the Rambam, as long as he was makabel ol malchus shamayim in the first pasuk, like Reb Meir, he was yotze. What happened to mitzvah srichas kavana? So at this point, I would like to introduce a chiddush, my Rebbe, Rav Salvechik, which will completely undermine this Mishnah Brura, and that is that with regard to mitzvah srichas kavana, we need kavana in order to establish the maisa as a maisa mitzvah. And the Rav has a very strong proof from a sugyan erech and erevin, because the sugyan erevin equates mitzvah srichas kavana with the sugya of Baltosif. Again, not for us now, because again, that'll take an hour. But be that as it may, the Rav said that if the requirement of kavana in mitzvahs is a prerequisite to establish a maisa and engender the status of the maisa as a maisa mitzvah, he says that Kriyat Shema is going to be the exception to the rule. Why? Because once he has kavana, I'll call upon him in the first pasuk, meaning he's got kavana to be makabel ol malchus shamayim, and that's his kavana. Call it yichud Hashem in the first pasuk. Is memela that kavana is chal for all three parshios, and that's what the Rama means when he says that kori lagia yotza, as long as he has kavana in the first pasuk, because when he recites all three parshios, and although let's say he doesn't have kavana l'shem mitzvah, but he is reciting the psukim, he already had a kavana of kabbalas ol malchus shamayim in the first pasuk. So Rav Soloveitchik wanted to establish that that kavana in the first pasuk infiltrates or spreads out throughout all three parshios, creating a maisa mitzvah, which is a chal shem cheftish al maisa mitzvah on all three parshios, and that's why he's yotze. And therefore, if we come back to this Mishnah Brura with regard to brachos in general, what are we talking about? Are we talking about, again, al derech hamashal, don't take me literally, are we talking about a Frenchman who's reading a bracha in Italian, and unfortunately he never took Italian 1.1, he doesn't understand a word of what he's reading? Then in that case, I would have to tell you that the man is a misasik bialma. He's reciting words, and they have no meaning to him. That's not the case. The case is where he's a Frenchman and he's reciting the bracha in French, or he speaks Hebrew and he's reciting the bracha in Lashon Kodesh. He has an awareness of what he's saying. Narvas, he doesn't have kavana l'shem mitzvah. Ah, in that case, even the Gaon would agree that he's yotze, and I would even extend this to Birkas HaMazon as well, even though Birkas HaMazon is Doraisa, Loshna, Bashar Brachas, which are Derabbanan, Loshna, Birkas HaMazon, Doraisa, there's no requirement of Kavana. There's no requirement of Kavana because he's aware of what he's saying. He understands the words that are coming out of his mouth, otherwise there's nothing to talk about. And that kavana itself engenders the status to that bracha of a maisa bracha, and therefore he's yotzei the mitzvah, even if he doesn't have kavana l'shem mitzvah. Meaning, I think what the Mishnah Brura did here in this presentation, again, this is all Torah, the Lilmon and Nitzorach. I always get very nervous. You know, people in the audience say, Rabbi Burz, what are you criticizing the Mishnah Brura? You know, that's like apikursis, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just, you know, Torah v'lilmod hanitzarech, it would seem to me that the Mishnah Brura here is a little bit confusing two different types of kavana. There's one kavana which is meaningful in the act that you're doing as a mitzvah act, and there's another kavana, latzeis yedei chovaso. The entire discussion between the Magen Avraham and the Gaon is only focused on kavana l'shem mitzvah, latzeis yedei chovaso. They're not arguing about the meaning of the maisa that you're doing, whether it's reciting a bracha, whether it's reciting tefillah, reciting kriyat shema. In all these cases, if he's aware of the fact that the reason why he's doing this is because he wants to thank Hashem, or he wants to accept, you know, the dominion, the sovereign dominion of God upon him, or in the case of tefillah, when he has kavan in the first bracha of Avos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avraham Avinu, that's enough. I don't need a kavan l'shem mitzvah in these cases. And therefore I would submit to you the following. If a person sits in sukkah on the first night of Sukkot, and he says to himself, wow, God gave us, you know, when we were in the Midbar, he gave us the Sukkot, whether it's Sukkot Mamish or I'm out of your covenant, so I'm not getting into that question. But he has in mind, L'man yedu doro seichem ki besukkos hoshavtis b'nei Yisrael, he doesn't need a kavanah l'shem mitzvah. There's no need for that. It's completely unnecessary, because since the act of sitting in the sukkah is a meaningful act insofar as he's replicating what happened back in the 40 years in the Midbar, that itself is enough to substitute for kavanah. I don't need kavanah l'shem mitzvah. I need kavanah l'shem mitzvah when the ma'isa mitzvah itself is completely devoid of any meaning. And I'll even go further than that. I would say about the shepherd boy, you know, in the mashal of the chassidim that he takes out on Rosh Hashanah, he takes out his little flute and he blows a flute. If a person would blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah with the kavana that God should hear his shofar and spare him from the chumras hadin of judgment, then I would say even if he doesn't have kavana l'shem mitzvah, he was yotzei, because there are certain mitzvahs where there's a kavana inherent in the mitzvah itself, and that kavana engenders the status of the ma'aseh, the ma'aseh mitzvah. There's no need for kavana latzeis yedei.
I agree with that, except that we did, as far as I remember, we learned that by Kriya Shema, for instance, even if you don't understand it, but if you say it with Lashon Kodesh, as opposed to if you said it in French, even if you speak French, if you don't understand the word, what it said, then you're not Yotze.
Well, that could be true if we paskin like the Chachamim, right, which we do against Rebbe, B'chol Lashon, Shata Shomea, and maybe I have to review what happens in Kriyat Shema. We had the Mishnah in Sota, if you recall, and there was the Rambam in Hilchos Shvuos, and the Rambam says with regard to Shvuos, even if they give him the Shvuah in Lashon Kodesh, he still has to understand what he's saying.
Yeah, that's
I remember in Kriyas HaMegillah, we came to the opposite conclusion that
Megillah and Kriyat Shema were the two exceptions
where I think.
You don't have to know what you're saying.
Right, you don't have to know what you're saying in Lashon Kodesh.
Right.
Whereas in Shavuos, you do have to know. I would just suggest the following, and that is that in all these cases, let's take Kriyat Shema for one, he's going to have Kavana on the first Pasuk. Right, so it could be that maybe, again, you have to know what's the difference between Lashon Kodesh and other Lashonos, but and the dimension of Kriya Kiksava that we discussed at great length. But be it as it may, without the Kavana of the first Pasuk, I would say that if he's reading Lashon Kodesh and he doesn't understand the word of what he's saying, that's Misasek. I mean, that's not even a Hava meaning that it could be Yotze.
Even when he has in mind... Yes, Kavanah to be Yotze with the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, because he was told there was such a mitzvah. He wants to be Yotze.
Ah, that's an interesting question. You want to flip it around the other way. What happens if you have a Jew who was told that this is what maybe he's reading it in transliteration, whatever it is. He knows he has a mitzvah, but he doesn't understand and convert. He doesn't understand a single word.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would say, the issue. I would ask him the following. I would have to drill him and ask him if he has any clue what this is all about. Meaning, if he tells me something that is remotely related to Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim, I could somehow justify and say that he was Mekayim
Mitzvah. In other words,
if he has no clue what Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim is about,
but the very mindset, the fact that he wants to be Mekayim a Mitzvah, even though he doesn't understand what it is.
No. I don't think that's it. I would say that, you know, you can go in one direction but not the other. Meaning, if you start with Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim as a Maisa Kavana, you can extend the Chalos to incorporate all three parashas, but to go the opposite direction and say that he has Kavana L'Shem Mitzvah, but he doesn't understand the word, and he doesn't have any element of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim whatsoever, not even in the most simple, you know, the simplest concept, I would think he's not Yotzi in such a case.
That's not possible. Why would he want to be Yotzi with a mitzvah unless he's doing it?
Correct. I think you might be right, Alan. You know, the Rambam, as we've discussed many occasions, has three essential elements in Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. He may have other elements when we get to the second parasha, the third parasha, but certainly in the first parasha, he is very outspoken about three elements. Now, you may say that, you know, if he understands that God asked him to do something and therefore he's going to do it, I don't know. I'm not sure that that's what the Rama means by Yichud Hashem, or certainly that's not what the Rama means by Avas Hashem and not Talmud. I don't know. You know, you're right. We would that would require a great deal of study. But I want to read another part in this Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says the following. He says, "Lefichach hatokeil lislamed, o hamavarech birchas hamazon im ktanim lechanchon b'mitzvus." So imagine I'm learning how to blow a shofar, and it's on Rosh Hashanah, or I'm teaching my child how to recite birchas hamazon, and I'm fulfilling as a good abba the mitzvah chinuch. Vehu hoye gam ken chayev v'birchas hamazon. At that moment, he was also chayev in shofar a birchas hamazon. Vishokach oz lihiskaving lotzeis ba gam kein avur atzmo. He has no thought process about his own mitzvah. He says v'chein kai gavna b'chol mitzvah shasam l'shum eze inyan lo yotzi yedecho vaso. He has not fulfilled his mitzvah, says the Mishnah Berurah. Then he adds another line. He says v'im kavanoso basias hamitzvah. So there are two fundamental chidushim here in the Mishnah Berurah. The first is, I think, more revolutionary than the second. And that is that mitzvos trichas kavana, and in the case of a doraisa, let it be shofar, let it be birkas hamazon, there's no debate about it. The way that we paskin in Shulchan Aruch is clear that v'chein halacha, that mitzvah srichas kavana. And in this case, somehow, he is totally unaware of the fact that at the same moment, he could fulfill his mitzvah of shofar, or his mitzvah of of birkas hamazon. The second chiddush of the Mishnah Berurah is that, let's say I have a double kavana. On the one hand, I have kavana to teach my child, or to teach myself in the case of shofar, and at the same time, I'd like to chaperai in the mitzvah. Says the Mishnah Berurah that in such a case, he could be yotze because of the kavana, the additional kavana that he has, the first kavana that he has. He has two kavanas simultaneously. He wants to achieve two goals. Does not in any way impinge or undermine his second kavana.
Now, represent the Sasek.
Yeah. Now, why do I think this Mishnah Berurah requires a great deal of analysis? It's low pashut. And I think the answer is because in the case of Tokeil Ashir, which the Gemara posits as your classical case of mitzvah strichas kavana or ain't strichas kavana, Rabbi Chananel says that he has kavana for tkiya b'migdash, right? In the Beis HaMikdash, there was a special mitzvah of tkiah.
Yeah.
And Rabbi Chanan learns that in this case, he had a kavana for a different mitzvah. Meaning, when it says l'shir, the word l'shir doesn't mean as we think it means, which is very odd when you think about it, that he gets some musical pleasure from blowing a shofar. I mean, I would have recommended a couple of different alternative instruments, but the Rabbi Chanan says the word shir has to be taken literally, and this is the kiyum mitzvah of shira b'migdash, which is a mitzvah that's codified in the Torah in Parshas Baaloscha. And the Rabbi Chanan, I think, would certainly be a problem for the Mishnah Berurah. I'll tell you why. Because according to the Mishnah Berurah, you can have a double kavana. And it seems to me that what Rabbi Chanan is trying to say is that you cannot have a double kavana. Rabbi Chanan is saying that if you have kavana for a specific purpose, namely in this case, l'shir, literally l'shir, then that kia cannot serve a double function.
But the Megillah says itself that you are Yotzeh.
Right, but the Mechaber in Beis Yosef says that that's only according to Rava, but we don't paska like Rava, meaning we hold that Tokei L'Shir Lo Yotzeh. That's how the Mechaber codifies it. Well, why is Tokei L'Shir Lo Yotzeh? Why can't I have Kavana? The answer is, says Rabbeinu Chananel, you cannot have kavana in this case. Even if you stand on your head, you cannot have kavana because you want to accomplish the mitzvah of Tokei L'Shir.
It's just a mitzvah altogether. It's not the same mitzvah.
No. Tokei L'Shir is dafkin the Beis HaMikdash.
But that's in the Beis HaMikdash. But that's not what you're trying. What you are actually going to be yotzeh with. If you say you're yotzeh, there is no Beis HaMikdash. You're not yotze with that. So the very fact that you had kavana to be yotze with kia shir for Beis HaMikdash is nothing to do with the mitzvah of kia shofar bulin.
No, so that's what I'm suggesting. What is Rabbeinu Chanan trying to point out over here? Why does Rabbeinu Chanan insist that the case of tokel shir, which, according to the Beis Yosef, whether he's Yotze or not, depends upon Mitzvah's Kavanah or Ain't Mitzvah's Kavanah. Why does he insist that the case is Tokei L'Shir? Because Rabbi Chanan wants to point out to us, a Gevaldig Chiddush, that Tokei L'Shir, by definition, is called Mitzvah, is a Mitzvah without Kavanah. I don't care how much Kavanah you have. Once you have Kavanah to fulfill a different Mitzvah, and in this case, for example, the Mitzvah of Chinuch, again, I'm saying 50 things at once, you know, it's like, kind of Shomer V'Zachar B'Dibur, you know, B'Dibur Echad. What I'm suggesting is, if that I'm trying, I as a father, I have a chiyu vis-a-vis my son to be mekayim the mitzvah of chinuch.
Right.
Lama Zogin, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. You have to look in Sukkah Mem Beis, whether it comes under the mitzvah of Vishinantam Levanecha, and so forth and so on.
Right.
Now, I want to convert that mitzvah of teaching my son into a mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon. And Biyotze, sort of like on a piggy, you know, take a piggyback ride and fulfill two mitzvahs. You know, how do you say, kill two birds with one stone? I think Rabbi Chanan is saying you can't do that. Because if mitzvah strichas kavana, you've already tagged your kavana onto the mitzvah of tokel shir, you no longer have a possibility of tagging on a kavana for another mitzvah. In fact, what we're going to see soon is that even if I hold mitzvah strichas kavana, if I have kavana shalolatzeis, I have a positive negative kavana, then everybody agrees that I'm not yotzei.
Right.
So it could be that one might argue, and this is going beyond Rabbeinu Chananel, that even if I held mitzvah tzrichos kavana, nevertheless, I would not be yotzei in tokel l'shir. Even if I held mitzvahs ein tzrichos kavana, I would not be yotzei in the case of tokel l'shir because I have a negative kavana. Meaning, I've already established that the nature and the goal of this maisa of tkiah is for the mitzvah of shir. It cannot take on another complexion, and at the same time serve as a Maisa Mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar for the Mitzvah of Yom Trua Yelachem.
But the Rosh is saying that that's the only way that you're not Yotze with the Mitzvah is only because you had Kavana for something else. But if you had no Kavana for anything, then you would be Yotze according to the Rosh.
Right, because Mitzvah saying Tzuchas Kavana. But, right? So I'm just saying that Rava.
You have to have a Kavana.
What I'm
saying is negative Kavana.
Right.
But even a positive Kavana,
right.
If it's a positive Kavana for something else.
Yeah. If it's a negative Kavana, then Rabbeinu Chananel might say that.
Everybody holds that.
That's what you have to know. Rabbeinu Yonah says, if we've seen it, that if you have a negative Kavana, even if you hold Mitzvah Tzuchas, Einam Tzuchas Kavana, you're not Yotze. Maybe Rabbeinu Chananel would argue with that. I don't know. But the Rabbeinu Chananel might say that even if you have a negative kavana, you could still be yotze. But that's only if I hold mitzvahs ein tzrichas kavana. If I hold mitzvahs tzrichas kavana, and the Mishnah Berurah is explaining this, he's trying to embellish the shita samachaber that mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. Then he wants to say that I could have a double kavana. In my mind, that's a tzarchi and guttle to say that you could have a double kavana, you know, and sort of, you know, kill two birds with one stone and chaparayim, you know, this mitzvah and that mitzvah all in one. Vesachnisht, I don't know, choose your kavana, I would say. Either you have kavana for this mitzvah or for that one. I don't know that you can have, kavana for both.
Even the Mishnah Berurah is not talking about Afamaisa. He's not saying, I started off only with chinuch.
Right.
And then I looked at my watch and I said, oh my gosh, I only have two more minutes before the hour is
right.
Up. I won't be yotze with Birkas Hamazon. So this should also go for Birkas Hamazon.
Right.
That would be Lachan Maisa though.
Since you mentioned Liachar Maisa, this is the last paragraph that I want to add to the Shia before we close.
Okay.
And that is the Mishnah Berurah has the following distinction. He wants to suggest that before you begin a mitzvah, since we pass a mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana, you would need to have Kavana L'kayim Tzivui Hashem. And then he says that after you already have begun the mitzvah, during the time in which you are implementing the Maisa mitzvah, you need a kavana for the sake of the mitzvah. So for example, in the Mishnah Berurah's frame of reference, he says, let's say before I recite Kriyat Shema, before I daven, before I recite Birkas Hamazon or Kiddush, I would already now have to have a kavana, Latzeis Yedei Chovas HaMitzvah. And of course, this enters into the whole discussion in Odu Yehuda about L'shem Yichud. But whatever it is, before I embark on the Maisa Mitzvah, I should have Kavana. And then, from the time I begin my Kriyat Shema until the time I finish, or I begin my Tefillah and I finish Birkas Hamazon and the like, I would have to have an additional. There's an additional requirement of Kavana that I have to take this Kavana straight through, at least until I finish that which is likuva, that part of the mitzvah that's absolutely indispensable. And truth be told, once again, lidati, according to my humble opinion, tzarchi and gadol. I don't know if that's really so.
That would require the spousal kaya to have specific kavana with every call that he produces.
That's right. And I think that's a little bit, you know, harsh and a little bit way out. I could agree with the Mishnah Berurah beyond the shadow of a doubt that Laman de Omar, and that's how the Mechaber codifies it, Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana, I have to set my kavanet over here before I embark on the mitzvah, and I have to have Kavana. But I don't know if I need Kavana from the beginning to end. I mean, for example, in Shechitas Kodshim, does the Shochet have to have Kavana? L'shem Shlomim, L'shem Zevach from the beginning of the Shechita till the end? Or for example, in Ksivas Get, where there's Halach of Lishma, so I have to have in mind L'shem HaBaal, HaMagarish, L'shem HaYisha Misgaresh. Do I have to have the Kavanah until I finish the entire Torah if I get? I would say no. And this is going to have tremendous implications with regard to Tviyas Tzitzis or Asiyas Tfilin, or for example, Yeshiva B'Sukkah. These are all mitzvahs that extend over a period of time. You can't just zbang, you know, finish in a second. Is the Mishnah Berurah going to require a kavana that escorts me, you know, from the beginning until the very end? So I'm making tzitzis, or I'm making tefillin. I have to have kavana l'shem kedushas, you know, tzitzis l'shem kedushas tefillin from the beginning to the end. That's not so. The halach of kavana means that once I have kavana at the beginning, then the kavana is chal on the entire balance of the ma'isa mitzvah. So that's another point that I wanted to make here. Now, I apologize that we're not able to finish this. Perhaps we'll have another occasion. It's just so much to say here, and it's to me it's a fascinating sugya that touches on so many different issues, so many different mitzvahs. But right now we're going to stop here, and Mirtz Hashem, we'll try to continue
in the future.
So I don't know about Monday, because I'm going to be away on Monday with the family, but I will try to, in Mirtz Hashem, B'li Neder, try to tape a shiur. I have a shiur tonight on, you know, this week's parash, of course, Vaschanan has the mitzvah of Yahavtas Hashem Elokecha. And I am very much in the, I guess you'd call it, the post-Tisha B'Av mood. And I'm wondering about the mitzvah of Yahavta in terms of Kiddush Hashem. Because it says, B'chol Nafshecha, and Chazal derive in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, afilu hu notel es nafshecha. And I was wondering how far this mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem goes, because some of the kinnis touch on episodes that took place in Jewish history in which people actually took their own lives al Kiddush Hashem.
Sure, yeah, some of the kinnis mentioned those.
Correct, I mean, you have, and it happened even during the Holocaust too, but it really dates back to Shaul HaMelech, and Shaul...
Right.
So that's the question,
right.
I mean, during the Crusade period, this was, I mean, this was mamish commonplace. There's a fascinating tshuva, the Maharam Rutenberg, whether or not the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem even allows you to even take your own life. You know, it's one thing to say that Kiddush Hashem b'chol nafshecha, let him take my life, but can we go even a step further and say that Kiddush Hashem v'yahavtas Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha requires you, or at least allows you, to take your own life, literally take your own life, al Kiddush Hashem. So I don't know if you'll be around tonight in the ELC, but I'm just mentioning, if you know anybody who might want to join us, we're going to start tonight at 8:20 p.m. And it should be an interesting discussion. Okay,
you know,
then.